This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, what do you say? Podcast day. Friends and people and cousins and sisters and brothers alike. Or single people out there, all the party people. Al Dukes, what's up?
Party in the house, party in the USA. Oh, hi, Jerry.
Party
yes,
in
welcome.
Your pants.
Party in my pants. There's a party in my pants, Jerry. Ooh, ooh. That's for Eddie the Clip.
Well, yeah.
You're yes. Welcome.
Right on.
I've felt like the shows have been a little odd the last 2 days.
In what way?
I don't know. They're just, they feel weird, including the warm-up shows.
Really?
Feel odd. Yeah, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
I actually enjoyed the warm-up shows the last couple of days.
I felt a little weird about them. I felt like they weren't up to par as they had been.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And but I have that vibe for the 6 to 10 show as well. Like, it just feels weird.
What feels off?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know if it's the weather surrounding the area, where it's like these rainy, miserable type of days. I don't know.
You're staring at it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really have an answer for you, but it did get me thinking to just towns and towns falling apart and towns revitalizing themselves and that sort of thing. Because somewhere along the line, someone told me here that Bradley Beach, where I live now, which seems to be a lovely town, Jerry, they tell me that back in like 2000 or whatever, it was a dump.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and I always wonder, and I wondered this about Asbury Park, like how these beachfront communities, you know, oceanfront property is very pricey, very
yes,
expensive.
It is.
It's people want it. So to have towns that have oceanfront properties that are rundown towns never made sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just a matter of how they allocate the funds and where the money goes and what they do with the tax dollars and if you have good politicians or criminals running the town.
So when I did some research for Asbury Park, wondering how that, because that was like a huge destination for people to go to long
for
time
vacations,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, for vacations and things. And then there were the riots in the 70s. And after the riots, I don't think the town fully came back.
Right.
So that was understandable. There was the west side of town where all the people, the poorer people lived that worked at the resorts. And then when they were fixing up the resort town and never really did anything to the west side of town, there were riots in hopes of that if we riot and burn down our town, they'll have to build it up.
Oh, my God.
This is what I was reading, Jerry, history books.
You're
I'm
above.
A voracious reader these days.
Yes, of course.
So that took some time, and then supposedly there were like corrupt politicians in Asbury Park. Then there was a guy who bought up all the property, and he was going to redo the whole thing, and then he went bankrupt. So it took a long time.
So, and you need investors. You need people that believe in the area.
Yeah, but my point is like all of these places already were resort towns. So what happened to make them not resort towns? That's my question for all these things.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think air travel. Number one, has become so easy and affordable that I can tell you, for instance, when I was young, we did do the LBI thing almost every year for a good handful of years. And then that got replaced. One year we went to, you know, we did the big Disney World trip, I think when I was 9 or 10, I want to say. Now, we always went to California every year in the winter to see my family. So we always did California every year, but that really wasn't a vacation as much as it was just time off and spending with the family. And we did one summer vacation. And it was, usually it was LBI. And then I think when I was 9, we went to Disney World for the, you know, we did the one Disney World trip. And then that became, my parents bought down there and we started going to Orlando every year and completely ditched the LBI thing. Now, I still love LBI, and I still went with my friend who had a house down there, but that family vacation got replaced with Florida overnight, essentially. And yeah. We started doing that every year.
You're right. Well, you may have hit on something, Jerry, that I haven't considered. With airfare becoming cheaper, people didn't have to just drive their cars down to the Jersey Shore.
Right.
They could go to other states, yeah. Disneyland. I blame Disneyland.
You could blame Disney. Yes, Disney World, yes.
And then I also wonder, then what happens? So there's this time when it was resort towns all along the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Then something happens and no one comes anymore. And then the town gets run down, property values go down. Then something else happens and it revitalizes itself again.
Yeah, I don't know.
I need specifics from people. And I've posted on the Bradley Beach Facebook group looking for answers, Jerry. I'm not getting what I'm looking for.
Right. The only thing I can think of is, again, someone. So, for instance, I believe like Keensburg, New Jersey, years and years ago, used to be a very popular destination.
Yes,
too, I
went all the time with my grandparents.
Right. Keensburg has had its struggles. And I know that there have been builders that have gone in there and they put in a water park and they put in oceanfront condos and townhouses. It looks a lot nicer. Now, they still have a long way to go. I think it takes time, but you need people to believe in the area.
Yeah, another town you and I have talked about in the past along the Jersey Shore but does not have beach access is Keyport.
Yes, it's a bay access.
But it's got beautiful views of New York City.
It does.
And it's not a nice. It's a run-down town.
Yeah.
Why,
so, Bill? There's another. You see, now here I think is a situation where the whole notion of town shopping is dead. Strip malls and
downtowns.
Malls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even like Red Bank, New Jersey, which is great.
You're right.
Red Bank has been revitalized by the restaurants, not by the shopping. All the stores pretty much have, not all of them, but a lot of them have left or have gone out of business.
Yeah.
And the only thing that still makes Red Bank so cool is they have done a nice job by keeping up with the buildings. And the restaurants, it's a place to go on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they've done a really good job during the pandemic by turning the street, you know, with no vehicles allowed and basically turning, what is it? It's not Main, Broad Street, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Turning Broad Street into like a thoroughfare for restaurants.
You bring up a great point because even before the pandemic hit, I remember going to Red Bank to go to the restaurants and walking around and seeing abandoned stores. Like, yeah. What's going on here?
Nothing.
Why are there no stores in here?
Amazon, Walmart, and Target. No one go. Like, I don't know that anybody goes shopping in Red Bank anymore. And I'll tell you about Keyport. You know, the restaurants that they have still do well, and they're the ones that have those bay views you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then there's also a couple of nice ones that are, you know, off the beaten path from the water, but they do well because they're newer and they're nicer. I forget, there's an Irish pub bar, which is, I can't think of the name of it.
O'Donnelly's?
No,
or
I can't think of it. And then there's Old Glory.
McDonough's.
McDonough's. McDonough's is tremendous. And Old Glory is there, which is around the corner from the water. So, like, the restaurants do well, but the stores, no one's shopping in Keyport.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Well, they're all, like, all the Keyport stores, just using this as an example, I'm sure it's similar in other towns, they're all, like, junky antique stores.
Yeah, they're old.
But, and then, like, I'll even look around here. So, Bradley Beach, right? So... On Ocean Avenue, which is the main avenue where you have multi-million-dollar homes, some of these people have, and also on the same Ocean Avenue, there are dumps. Why would somebody not either fix up their place or sell it for a huge profit just for the land?
Maybe they don't have the money to fix it, but they're not ready to get rid of it yet.
That's weird.
Because even if you don't fix it, it still gains value. The ocean, it just does.
Correct.
So,
right, but I'm saying at what point, like I look at some of these places, I like if, and they're so old and run down. They've probably been in families for years and years and years. There's probably not even mortgages on them.
Right.
Why not fix it up? And you would have so much money invested in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see
stuff with like signs out front for summer rentals. The places are dumps. Like fix it up.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, even if you look at LBI, like you can, you know, even the dumps cost a lot of money. And so
yes.
I think the owners, they get very complacent knowing what they have. Why pump money into something that's pumping money into them?
You're right. You're right. I think that's what happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's but it is an interesting conversation and a good historical look at our Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and I wonder, like on Long Island, are there towns like that as well that are on the water that you wouldn't buy property in because they're undesirable now?
And coming up next, Greg Giannotti breaks down Sag Harbor. I don't know. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is.
Weird.
I think it's just everywhere.
Just knowing how valuable the property is by the water, why would you ever let it turn this way?
Well, how about Atlantic City? You talk
great
about
one.
Atlantic City from That's the 20s and one. 30s, and if you still go there now, I know you get away from the boardwalk, and Borgata is gorgeous.
Scary.
And
scary to walk around there.
But the boardwalk is not the best place to be, and yet at the same time, if you go during the day, Al, you still have the amusements going on. You still have – the beach is actually not terrible. I mean, I've been there before. It's actually nice. You've got a couple of the casinos that have bars on the beach and private areas. Like, it's a cool place to go, but it's not the place to go.
Right.
So, and you've got the Hard Rock just pumped a ton of cash to revitalize that building, and it seems like they're doing well, but it's not a vacation place. It's just
It seems like what they do, and this is what happened in Asbury Park twice, is they revitalize the area where they want people to come and have dinner and gamble for Atlantic City, but they don't revitalize the area where the workers are coming from. So the workers you're paying minimum wage are living in a different part of town that doesn't get revitalized.
Yeah, that's so probably true.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, not a good cycle.
Yeah, terrible cycle.
Yes.
I might become mayor of one of these towns, Jerry. Probably Bradley Beach at some point.
I'm going to be mayor.
That's right.
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Mayor Al Hughes Dukes.
Good. You can start by sweeping the floor.
Remember that what? Movie? No, what is
Back
that?
Back to the Future.
I don't remember that.
Really? When Marty runs into a young Goldie Wilson, he's working at the diner. And he's like, you'll see, I'm going to make something of myself. And he turns around, that's right, he's going to be mayor. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Sounds like a quality movie line, though, Jerry, and it's a good rendition.
There's few movies that when I see, I can't turn them off. That is one.
For Back to the Future 1?
And 2.
And 2. And also, and I also know you like the one that was a Western, sort of?
That was 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that one. I thought that was good.
And then you like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes, 1 and 2. And, of course, Titanic I can't turn off.
Titanic. I
don't
think
know why.
I'm not sure if I've sat through Titanic ever.
Well, you can't. You can't sit through it with commercials. It's already almost
3 hours
long.
No, I would never. I would never in a million years. When these movies are on regular TV, not in a million years would I watch it.
Oh, and then Godfather 1 and 2. Those are also can't turn them off.
Yeah. So you have a handful of movies.
Yeah, there's a handful. Not a lot, but there's a handful. That is true.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything fun or just going
to
No,
that was
it,
Jerry. We're
going to
break down towns. I want to know from people if they're on Long Island. I need to know what towns do they think need to be revitalized.
Inquiring minds want to know.
And then what I'm going to do, Jerry, is I'm going to put together a board. You'll be part of it. Me, Eddie Scazzeri, we'll need Boomer's investment money. And we'll go in and we'll start revitalizing towns.
I'm good. I like it.
What's interesting, you never watch on the HGTV, the mom and daughter that live in Indianapolis?
Yes, I have seen that, yes.
Good Bones, I think it's called.
Yes.
So it was interesting that I saw in one of the recent episodes, they're driving down the street and they go, what a really great neighborhood this is now. And they go, yeah, we fixed up every house in the neighborhood.
I believe it.
So what they did is, yeah, they choose, and I heard them explain it the one day, they pick a rundown neighborhood.
Yeah.
They build up a nice house, and they go, we're not going to get a ton of money for it, but we'll get some money for it.
And
we'll
make
a profit. Then we'll make another, then we'll do another house, and we'll make a profit a little bit more than the last one, then we'll do another house.
It's all about compounding the profit.
And then they just, all of a sudden, they bought every house in the neighborhood, fixed it up, and upped the property values.
Well, that's like the ones in Austin. They basically fixed up their entire damn county.
Waco, yeah.
Oh, is it Waco? I thought it was Austin.
Waco. They're into a Waco, yeah.
Yeah, Joanne and Chip.
Chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
You got to know what you're doing.
Why don't you and I do a show? We'll do Keyport, New Jersey.
I'm in.
Just build it right up.
I am totally in. Here's what we'll do.
Start flipping houses.
We'll fill all the stores.
Ooh, okay.
Alan Jerry Way.
You're right. What you really need is you need like boutique type shop. Like Asbury's doing it right. They've got cool little stores.
You need the shoppers though. Like yeah. You have to have people that want to come shop.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I mean, we can put the coolest things in there. If no one shows up, what good is it?
Right.
You know?
It's a good point, Jerry.
War. Huh. What's it good for?
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. That's what I say.
Let's do the
let's do the warm-up show.
Yeah, you didn't like it. So
it has felt weird the last 2 days as the Boomer and Geo show has. So maybe it's just me, but
I think it's you.
Could be me. It's possible.
I actually said when. Well, never mind. I'm not going to get into that. You have a great day.
All right, Jerry. You have a good day as well. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The warm-up program is next. There's a couple dogs out front I'd like to go meet. So.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, campers. Al and Jerry. No guests, no calls, and no real content.
You know what, Zach? You're actually right. A little light on the topic sheet this morning,
what?
But it is 5:03. It is a Tuesday morning. The Cowboys played like crap. Chiefs Bills, relatively entertaining. And the World Series begins today. What's up, Al Dukes?
Jerry, did you work that Dallas Cowboys game last night?
If you're calling that a game, I did, yes.
Yeah, I saw the final score 38-10. Now, at first, I was like, well, the Cowboys scored an oh-by-the-way touchdown at the
sure
end of that
did.
Game. But then the Cardinals came back, and they scored an oh-by-the-way touchdown.
No,
so,
it wasn't an oh-by-the-way touchdown. It was a touchdown in which the Cowboys decided, we're done playing.
Yeah, we're not going to tackle this fella. And so to me, in my head, although it's a 38-10 score, that was a 31-3 football game.
No, it was awful.
That's what it looked like.
That was a horrendous football. You know, it's amazing, too. So I go to my handy-dandy BetMGM app before. I'm like, I'm not going to pick a winner for this game. I'm going to try and do something fun. So
right.
I decided to go with a prop bet parlay type of deal. And I had this is what I thought was interesting. I had DeAndre Hopkins needed to have 60 yards receiving. Amari Cooper had to have 60 yards receiving. They both did that. I had, what the hell is the kid's name? The running back. Oh, yeah. I'm blanking out on the Cardinals. Not Chase Edmonds, the other one. Whatever. He had to have 50 yards rushing. He had, 400 yards rushing. And Ezekiel Elliott had to have 50 yards rushing. Would have won. Nice little sum of money.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott, with about 6 minutes to go in the game, had 12 carries for 50 yards, then lost a yard, and finished with 49.
So you lost.
I mean, come on,
and he lost,
man.
Two costly fumbles in the second quarter,
dude,
Jerry.
He killed. So the Cowboys have this out. He turns the ball. He fumbles. Cardinals score a touchdown. Fumbles again. Cardinals score a touchdown. Dalton interception. Cardinals score a touchdown. Dalton interception. Cardinals field goal. 24 points on 4 turnovers.
It was a bad job, Jerry, and now this leaves the NFC East wide open for the New York Giants to make a run.
Yes.
The Giants can make a run if they get it together. Huge game, Giants-Eagles in Philadelphia.
I mean, how about this? How about
all the marbles?
Whoever wins on Thursday night has a legit chance to be in first place come Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys have a road game in Washington, and since the Cowboys have given up, I believe this is amazing, this stat. So they've given up in 6 games 218 points. I believe it's the 5th most in the history of the NFL.
I'd love to see the Jets get to play the Cowboys, see if they might score this week.
Yes, I'll tell you what, they would.
I mean, Kyler Murray was running all over them too, and I'm very much against now this idea that there's so many running quarterbacks now. And this idea that you really can't touch them and defensive guys are afraid to touch them. And
you don't know what to do.
Yeah, they kind of fake like they're going to slide and then they don't slide. They try to get a couple extra yards. And if you touch them, they want a flag.
Yeah. No, it's a problem. I don't know what you're doing. You saw it with Mahomes. I'll tell you this, Mahomes. My God. Did you see the throw he made? He had one play that pretty much sealed the game. I think it was, I don't know if it was third down or second down, where he rolls out to his right. He's going to run. He knows exactly where the line of scrimmage is, steps back, slides right, and then finds a wide open guy running across the field.
Yeah, it's almost when he's running towards the scrimmage line, it's almost like he sees the blue line that we see on TV.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers did the same thing in Tampa on Sunday, where it's like that blue line ain't there, but yet when you're watching it on TV with the way they react to it, it's almost as if it's painted on the – it really is amazing. You're right.
Oh, yeah. The same thing like the Josh Allen. He runs too like that, and you don't know whether you can tackle him or not.
I know. I agree. It's almost, to me, it's almost as if once they break the line of scrimmage, they should be fair game.
Correct.
And I understand. Listen, you don't want these guys getting hurt. I get it. Well, are we a running back or are we a quarterback?
Right. If you're sitting in the pocket behind the line of scrimmage, I'm all for not killing the quarterback.
Me too. I totally agree with you. But once you run,
yep.
I'm sorry. All bets are off.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree.
Now, Zeke Elliott says, put it on my shoulders.
He's right.
This is on me, because he says his two fumbles in the second quarter shifted the momentum, and it did.
Changed the game completely.
14-0, okay. They go right up.
Now, let's be honest. The Cowboys' defense right now is trash. So at some
trash
point,
Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst defense I've ever seen, at least from this team. But there's no question they were playing well in the first quarter. And then he fumbles the ball at midfield. And then the worst one was when you fumble it again the next time you touch it on the 27-yard line. Ugh.
Do you think this game looks different with Dak Prescott quarterbacking?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I thought Dalton was terrible last night.
Because he can't run.
No, and
there's no threat back there.
Part of the problem, here we go, I can't believe I'm say this, but I have to. Part of the problem last night for Dalton, while he is mobile, he was running for his life. And you're not going to get the best out of him. You've got Tyron Smith is out, Lael Collins is out, Zach Martin left the game last night with a concussion. I mean, I don't even know who's playing offensive line, and you could tell. Like, the Cardinals were just saying, this offensive line stinks. We're going to rush seven at them, and they can't stop us, and they couldn't.
And then how about that 80-yard bomb Kyler Murray threw? That was balls, Jerry.
Interesting, too. That was to Christian Kirk, I believe. Earlier in the game, they took two shots, and the receiver, ran the wrong route on one, and on the other one was wide open and just missed them.
So this was like a fingertip catch, too.
That was a beautiful catch. Yeah. Yeah, they played well. Cardinals played really well.
Beautiful balls, beautiful catch.
Yes, I agree.
That's what I say.
This was the Cardinal team when they lost. I think they lost in Carolina a couple weeks ago, and they looked terrible. This was the Cardinal team I expected to see a couple weeks ago. I lost with them that day in Carolina. They looked like a legit, solid team last night.
Yeah. They're going to be trouble, Jerry.
But as you say, Al, the Cowboys' defense could make the Jets look like a legit, solid team right
now.
Yeah,
I'd like to see them play right now.
So
I wish the NFL was like pro wrestling. Like in pro wrestling, they'll just decide this would be a good matchup. Let's do it now. Like right now, if I was like commissioner, if Roger Goodell was like Vince McMahon, he'd come on TV and go, this Sunday, the winless Jets are going to play the Cowboys because their defense stinks and we want to see if the Jets could score any points.
So you like a rotating schedule.
Yeah, rotating schedule, depending on what happened the week before.
Okay. I mean, that's never going to happen, but I see what you're saying with that.
You know, make the Chiefs play someone competitive every week.
Yeah,
not that there's any really competitive teams.
They're all professional players.
They're all pros, Jerry.
They're all pros.
Now, do you make a big deal out of Kyler Murray being 7-0 at the AT&T Stadium? Is that a thing?
Not. No.
Is that a thing we should be looking forward to in the future?
Nope.
Means nothing, right?
It means nothing
to me.
Because
he did all college games.
Doesn't mean a damn thing to me.
I thought
that was actually a silly note.
Silly stat.
Yeah, that was kind of goofy.
You said it. Your TV is silly.
Yeah.
A silly stat.
Because where he played, I mean, come on, whatever. I mean, just because he played there and won, nah,
yeah.
I don't think it means anything. I don't.
He's like acting like that's his home field now.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That's where I dominate.
I totally get it.
AT&T with the big screens.
He played on good teams, and he played there. So what?
And then we actually got to feel like we were West Coasters yesterday, Jerry. We got a football Monday Night Football game at 5 p.m. I felt like I was living in California.
I got to tell you, I think good. It was, I'm sure many people posted it, but I saw JJ post it, and I couldn't agree with him more on the fan, yes.
On the
was
fan.
That you or was that Eddie?
That was me.
That was good. If I was the NFL, I would look to do away with Thursday Night Football and do the Monday Night doubleheader.
Ooh.
I thought that was awesome last night. I
JJ
really did.
Suggested this?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people did. I'm just saying I saw him post it.
Got it.
I understand the issues for the West Coast. So maybe you don't play at 5. Maybe you play at 6 and 9, something like that. But I thought it was great. I really, like, it was fun. You know, you got football on nice and early into the next game. It was like, This was especially on a Monday night where sports, even when the NBA and the NHL is playing, Monday night is generally a light night. I think it works beautifully. And then you knock off that extra day that the players hate anyway.
Right. Jerry, I've brought up John Jastrzemski's Twitter. He tweets, aside from the opener and Thanksgiving, I'd gladly give away Thursday Night Football for a Monday night double
yes,
dip
that
weekly.
Was it. I agree with him. Thanksgiving is what it is. It's special. That's awesome.
It is special.
And to start the season, that's fine because no one's playing on 3 days rest. Rest of the season, double dip on Monday. Love it.
So this Thanksgiving, we always get, you know, the Lions and the Cowboys playing people. Can be a lot of points scored on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
A lot of points, Jerry.
See if the Cowboys can keep someone under 35.
Did you feel like you were living in California yesterday when you had it on? Did you think, like, this is what life is like on the West Coast?
No. No, because I've been out there during football season.
Oh.
Here's when it feels like life on the West Coast. The London games. 9 a.m.
9 a.m.? Yes, that does feel like. We've got football.
The few times I've been out there with my family in the fall, it's the coolest thing when you wake up, go get some bagels, and 10 a.m. game start.
Boom.
Awesome.
And then that first game, Chiefs-Bills, we had Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Was outstanding.
Outstanding.
You think he had an extra gear because they signed Le'Veon Bell?
I do think he had an extra gear. 161 yards on the ground because they're bringing in Le'Veon Bell, and he's like, what's up with that?
Yeah. And I tell you, too, I saw Andy Reid's comments about, like, why? Well, what'd you go get Le'Veon Bell for? There's an interesting answer. He goes, we don't turn aside good players, and he's a good player. Okay.
Right.
I don't know how much he's going to help you, but cool. Go for it.
Right.
I
and now this guy's
chemistry.
Yeah, exactly. Me, too. I hope he does. You're right. I hope he's trouble in the locker room, and I hope he just throws off everything.
It could happen. It's very possible.
Isn't that what we thought? Remember when who was it? The Golden State Warriors signed, who the heck did they sign where everyone was like, wow, it's going to ruin their chemistry?
I don't remember. Who?
One of the big name fellas.
Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant, yeah. That's right.
It did not ruin their chemistry.
Right. Well, yes. That was the problem.
We
were all hoping it would ruin their chemistry. It did not.
He was actually quite amazing.
Hmm.
How about that?
How about, did you enjoy watching football in the rain? I like a little rain in Buffalo, cold rain in Buffalo, Jerry.
Yeah, I didn't
misty
think it was
rain.
I didn't think it was much of anything, to be
honest. Yeah, it wasn't too much.
I expected more.
But they acted like that's why the Chiefs were running the ball down their throat, because it was raining.
I guess. I mean, they certainly ran the ball more than I expected. I mean, but at the end of the day, they won, and the game plan worked. How about, real quick, how about this? So I know you didn't see the end of the Cowboy game, like dumb face over here. Yeah.
I may have.
Oh, you did?
Well, you know, I had the very extensive highlights,
okay.
Jerry.
Then just give me, all right, maybe you saw then.
Okay.
How about the first initial, because it's the same, of either the final running back the Cowboys put in the game or the backup quarterback they put in the game?
Did not see that.
This sounds like a law firm.
It was not in the highlights.
There was no reason for it to be. This sounds like a law firm. DiNucci and Dowdle. These were Dallas Cowboys last night.
They put that quarterback in at the end of the game?
Ben DiNucci.
DiNucci?
Played quarterback. And Rico Dowdle was the running back. I only need Ezekiel Elliott to go his 1 yard back. And I'm watching some guy by the name of Dowdle carry the ball.
I think they used to do afternoons on New Jersey 101.5, Dominski and Doyle.
No, this is DiNucci and Dowdle.
Oh, DiNucci and Dowdle.
DiNucci.
DiNucci.
DiNucci wearing number 7, and Dowdle was wearing, this bothered me a little bit, Herschel Walker's number 34. Oh. You don't give Herschel Walker's number to Rico Dowdle. No offense to Rico.
Right.
But come on. I'm like, oh, 34, and he's thin. He doesn't even look like Herschel. Herschel was thick and strong and muscular. This guy was thin. He's good.
Nice thighs on that Herschel Walker back in the day, Jerry.
I think he's still doing 2,000 sit-ups and 2,000 push-ups a day.
Yeah, he was a guy who claimed not to go to the gym, right? He would just do body weight.
Yes.
Body weight type of things.
All body weight training.
Curls.
Yes.
I mean, not curls, no, crunches.
Push-ups, crunches, yes.
Yeah.
2,000 a day, I believe, for each.
That doesn't seem like a much.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, for it to be in that shape that he was in.
2,000 a day, every day?
Why no days off.
That? Why don't you get to 2,000 today?
That I'm not going to be able to
And then
to
wake
do.
Up tomorrow and do it again. I had a friend of mine whose son, I want to say was 18, maybe 17. He did the, and this sounds like something you could do for sure, especially with the way you, and you might be all doing right. it already. He did the 10,000 push-up challenge.
And how long do you have to do that?
You have 30 days.
Let me do the math on that. What do you have to do, like 100 a day?
About 325 a day, something like that.
325, but yeah, that's very doable.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're probably doing 200 already at least.
If you could spread it out throughout the whole day.
Yeah, you just got to get to 10,000. You got to log it as you go.
Right.
10,000 in 30 days.
Mm.
I feel like you could do that.
Yeah,
I
could do that.
Anymore.
Yeah, I could do that.
But it's every day. There's no days off.
No days off.
Right.
Right now, I currently take Saturday and Sundays off, Jerry, to rest my body.
Right. No, you got to do it on Saturday and Sunday as well.
I eat pizza those days.
Even more reason to do it.
I shove pizza right down my throat on Fridays.
We're going to take a quick break as you shove something else down your throat during this break. 518, we'll take it to Boomer and Geo at 6 right here on The Fan. This portion of the warm-up show is sponsored by your local Mazda dealers. Every Mazda CUV comes with a suite of advanced safety features and are available with iActive all-wheel drive, which will give you the confidence to go practically anywhere. Visit your local Mazda dealer for special offers or visit MazdaUSA.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Al and Jerry, they suffered for their art. Now it's your turn.
All right, Al's in Bradley Beach. I'm in New York City. You know, one thing I found interesting this morning, Al, real quick, driving in, there's construction everywhere again, which is expected. That's not a big deal. But I would imagine you're like most people. When you see the orange cones, if you don't see, you know, any construction workers, you're probably not slowing down, even though they tell you to slow down to 35 miles an hour in a construction zone. Most people don't. But I got to tell you something. This morning on the BQE, the poor guys are trying to pick up those big orange cylinders, and the people are flying by these guys as they're trying to lean over the truck and grab the cylinder to pull it back up. Not only are they not slowing down, they've got to be doing 65 miles an hour. Give these guys a break. God, people drive like such asses. It really is amazing. I don't know if you've ever come across that or not.
Especially the middle of the night. People are like, this is when I'm allowed to drive very fast. There's probably no cops going to run me down. These dudes getting cones. People get ticked off when they see the cones, so they get aggressive driving.
But it's not right. I mean, there's people trying to wrap up their shift, and literally you can't be more than a couple of feet away from them as they're just flying by. I don't know. It really took me. There was one guy that was like weaving in and out. So the left lane was closed. That was the lane where they were picking up the cylinder from. And you had the middle and the right lane. And as soon as the right lane became available, this jackass in his little white car started weaving in and out. And he buzzed by the guy that was picking up the cylinder. It's like, dude, you're going to end up in jail if you hit that guy.
Yeah, he's just being very aggressive. People get angry when they see orange cones. I do. I get angry.
He got angry because he had to slow down, which he didn't want to do. Give these guys a break. Jeez.
You ever wonder where all these people are going at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I understand the trucks. I don't understand all the cars.
Yeah. You look over and they appear like very normal people just in their car at 3:30 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Well, like you and I used to see that. We get into Manhattan and you see like a random 40-year-old guy at 4 a.m. sitting at a light on Varick Street. Where are you going?
I assume they're looking for ladies of the evening.
Yes, you do.
Or crack cocaine.
And you would judge them immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I was a cop, I'd pull him right over.
That's you. Look at this guy. What do you think he's looking for? A blonde, brunette, red? What do you think?
I would love to put a flashlight in somebody's car one day, like as a cop. You go up to somebody's window in the dark, flashlight in the back, looking around. Seems powerful.
Okay. You mean like when the guy's in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I know you're up to something. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're in your car. Let me look around with my big, powerful flashlight.
Well, were we ever up to something?
No, but I also wouldn't mind getting pulled over at 3 o'clock in the morning and going to work. Look at me.
Well, we were.
Not up to anything crazy.
Right. We were pulled over at 3 o'clock in the morning once before.
Just like when I see them doing DUI checks.
Yeah.
I was like, I would feel like, oh, pull me over. I want to pass a test.
Have you ever gone through those checks? I have many times.
I've driven through them, but they've never said, will you take a breathalyzer?
No, but you've had to give them your license registration, yeah. And they take a look at you, and they can tell
yes.
your face in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know?
But I just feel like this is a test I could pass.
Well,
Here you go, officer.
I have a friend of mine who's an attorney. He always told me, especially if you never had more, what did he tell me? If you average less than a drink an hour.
All right.
Refuse the walking the line and all that stuff. Ooh. Ask directly for the breathalyzer.
All right. There's a tip. There's a tip from a lawyer friend of Jerry's.
I forget if it was what his benchmark was. I think it was less than a drink an hour.
And never take a lie detector test. Just go like this. I would like to speak with my attorney.
Those are stupid.
When you need to get an attorney, like when you get arrested and they're like, I want to speak to my attorney. Yeah, but if I say I want to speak to my attorney, now I have to go look for an attorney in the middle of the night?
If you don't have one, yes.
Yeah. Or, I like people that have an attorney already.
At this point, you could just Google attorneys.
But you need that. That's an important call. You can't just pick any rando dude.
Well, I know.
You got to get someone that, you know.
But you're the one that just threatened to call your attorney at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You better find one quick.
I will call my attorney right now.
Okay, Mr. Dukes, and who is that? I don't know. Could you give me Google for a second?
Yeah, just got to look and find a billboard on the side of the road of an attorney.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. When people refuse to take a lie detector test, guilty. They should just be like this. Guilty. We're throwing you in jail.
I disagree. I think the lie detector test for a lot of people is so nerve-wracking, you'd fail anyway.
It accounts for that. No, that accounts for nervousness.
I would never take a lie. I think a lie detector test is crap.
I'd like to hook you up to one right now.
No, I'd rather put you up to one to see if you fail.
What are you going
to
ask me?
You really
want
to
pass? Flying colors.
You think so?
You've been so honest, Mr. Dukes. You're free to go. This lie detector test has never seen someone tell the truth so boldly.
Was that device in Tampa really a gift from the company, or did you purchase the gift and try it on your own? And did you really throw it out because you felt shameful after you first
yes,
used it?
Yes, that I can tell you. I'm speaking 100% truth.
But did you purchase it, or was it given to you?
Define purchase, Mister
I want to know if the pump you bought.
With my own money? It's very hard to it's very hard to remember back that far, Jerry.
Oh,
I don't know.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can be truthful about that.
That is funny.
Jerry Adam Gase says speaking of lie detectors, he has no answer for when Sam Darnold will return.
I don't think he's got many answers for anything right now.
If you were Sam Darnold, would you want to get back in the mix here, or is it better for you just to stay out? Or do you need to get back in there to prove you can play quarterback, because right now people are doubting your abilities?
I think a lot of the latter. I do. I think there's people who don't think he's a good NFL quarterback.
We hear it here on WFAN.
The problem is can you judge him from what you've seen?
No.
With this team and these players? I mean, Ty Bowles got run out of town because the Jets had no players. Now Adam Gase is here. The Jets don't have good skill position players. I mean, is Sam Darnold a good quarterback, a bad quarterback? I don't think at this stage of his career we have any idea.
And we're always going to wonder now because of the Ryan Tannehill situation.
He's a first-round draft pick. Are you just going to give up on him after just a couple of years, a few years? I don't know, man. It's tough. And at the same time, if you keep him and you pass on someone else, you're setting your franchise back another 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, it is really a complicated decision that they have to make.
And I don't know, quarterbacks along the way.
Possibly. I mean, you could make the case that Ryan Tannehill was ruined until he found the proper fit. And now all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill looks like Joe Montana. And fits that team. I mean, that to me is the biggest thing about, you know, whether it's a baseball team, a football team. To me, the biggest job of the GM is not just bringing in talent that mixes well and meshes well with the talent that's there. Like, you have to have the right collection of, they're all talented. You got to find the right guys that work together the right way.
You need chemistry, Jerry.
Yeah.
You need a scientist in there who knows chemistry.
And you need maybe the head coach could be the scientist. You need the proper manager or head coach that can deal with those personalities. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, that's why to me, like, the Texas Rangers never won anything when they were spending all that money. You know, like, you can spend a fortune, but if it isn't the right mix and you don't get the right guys, it doesn't matter.
So the Johnson family, they got to bring in beakers, Bunsen burners, and they've got to get a chemist in there to figure out how do we get team chemistry first?
Yes. Where do they go for that? MIT?
Well, there's probably that place in Newark, New Jersey, UMDMJ or something. I would get some chemists from there. No, I've been thinking of like a...
UMDMJ? What the hell is that?
No, UMDMJ. It's some sort of science school.
Could you tell me what
get
that
some
is?
Chemists.
Did you Google it?
No, but I think the D is for dentistry. UMDMJ. Hold on. UMDMJ.
It's a dental school.
University Hospital. University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure there's scientists over there, Jerry.
I just like that you picked a dental school.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me what that stood for, because it sounded like, you know, when you say MIT, that sounds important.
University Medical Dental. No. No?
University of Medicine and Dentistry. That's where I'm going for my scientist.
Of New Jersey. Now, this is a Rutgers thing?
No, I believe it's not Rutgers related.
It's just the University of Medicine state-run, and Dentistry of New Jersey.
Yeah, it's a health and science. Oh, it's quite pricey, I'm sure. Well,
I mean, everything's quite pricey. Let's see. If I put tuition in, do you think that pops right up?
Yeah. I don't believe Kane College was very pricey when I went there.
I got to tell you, not bad.
UMDMJ. Yeah.
Oh, this is 2011-12. Never mind.
A couple years ago?
It's a few years ago. Well, I'll tell you this, though. In 2011-12, the in-state tuition was $10,000.
Oh, bargain.
Yeah, I mean, an Ivy League school is $75,000 now.
Yeah, we don't need an Ivy. I don't need an Ivy League scientist. I need someone with some Bunsen burners, a couple of beakers to head over to Florham Park, get the chemistry set correctly, Jerry, and then we'll be good to go.
This is what, 2020-21?
This is 2020.
Is 2020. Yeah, but the 2020-21 year. I got to tell you, everything comes up Rutgers. Nothing comes up here for the year. Is it still... Who knows? This like my old broadcasting deal? Is it like defunct?
Fake school, fake news.
Like, I went to Uppsala. That's gone.
Defunct.
You know what Kane's tuition is these days?
What?
Have you looked?
I have not looked.
This can't be right.
$12,000?
I'm going to leave it alone because I don't think that's right.
All right. You don't want to spread fake news. I appreciate that.
Looks like it's between 7 and 12. Not bad.
Oh, no. That seems about right.
Yeah, I guess so. State school, right?
Yeah.
$6,000, it looks like. That's pretty good.
Jerry, people are still...
We're going to take a break. Can you give me a radio tease?
Yeah. People are still doing this. That's the game show music, and you'll find out what this is on the other side of the break.
I'm excited about that. All right, cool. This portion of the warm-up show is sponsored by Toro Snowblowers. For grizzly winters, you need a Toro Power Max snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro Power Max snowblowers.
Snowblower.
Yes. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. Back in a moment on the warm-up show, 6 o'clock, Boomer and Geo.
Al and Jerry, because you can't get enough sports with the other 23 hours in the day.
I'm not sure what that means, but you'll have more sports for the rest of the day, and it will start at 6 o'clock with Boomer and Geo. For now, we will carry you through the next 18 minutes. Al gave us a game show radio tease before the break. Explain yourself, sir.
I said, Jerry, people are still doing this. Or something like that. I can't remember how
what
I worded
it. What is whoopee?
The Jets are still getting bets for the Super Bowl. The New York Jets.
What did that have to do with game show music?
Well, I'm just saying, it reminded me of like a game show where you give the clue backwards or something. You go, people, yeah.
Got it.
There's nothing to do with game show music.
All right. Thought we were going to
play. Other than it was a game show.
Got it.
No, people are still betting on the Jets to win the Super Bowl. People
Morons.
Are betting not enormous amounts, $5. They were, at the time of this story was written, where I got all this information, the Jets were
plus
5,
10,000?
5,000 only.
Have to be.
5,000 to 1. People are betting $5. Could nothing you, too crazy.
Listen, I'm all for, what was it, the St. Louis Blues a couple years ago where people won a lot of money because they were not a good team at the break. This is a different sport, though.
Can different
you
story.
Envision any scenario?
No.
Like literally any scenario that would have them, forget win the Super Bowl, that would have them win 8 games?
I do not.
Can you come up with a scenario where they win 4 games?
I cannot come up with a scenario where they win a ball game.
I know.
Like, I don't see it.
So what moron hands over a penny?
Like, I might still throw $5 on the New York Giants to win the Super Bowl. Because they're still technically hanging around.
And they also don't look like they're incompetent.
Right.
And all you got to do in this division is get in, and they have every chance, as the other three teams, to win the division.
Right, maybe they go on
no chance.
One of the roles like they did in the Coughlin-Eli era when they went on the, they had to go on the road and beat all those teams in Green Bay where Tom Coughlin's nose got red and almost fell right off of his face.
That was
they could
true,
go on one
true.
Of those runs.
Like this week, the Jets play the Bills. All right, you got 10 seconds. Explain to me in 10 seconds if they can win this game and
no,
how.
They cannot.
Right. You don't need 10 seconds.
No.
2 seconds. You can just tell me they have no chance.
In fact, I went to the to see what the odds are on that game. It's not even posted yet.
That's got to be. Well, let's see. You get 3 points for playing at home. So 9-point underdogs?
Oh, at least.
They have to be, don't they?
At least.
They're
and
awful.
The Bills are coming off a loss now?
That's what I mean. On top of that, terrible.
I'm going to say it might be 11 points.
So was it you that put the $5 on the Jets?
No, I would not put $5 on the Jets. I'd put $5 on the Giants.
Part of your five-team season-long parlay.
$5. Five-team parlay.
Jets winning the Super Bowl in Tampa in front of 12,000 fans.
I remember, what was it, when sports betting first became a thing in New Jersey where you could do it on an app?
Yeah.
I was all excited. You know, I've never made any bets before.
Right.
You know, I don't make illegal bets. I make legal bets only. So I was like, ooh, I'm going to put $20 on the over-under wins for the Giants.
To what, win $20?
Yeah, exactly. For
you
a
ass.
Full season-long bet? What a dumb, like, I was so excited to do
that's
it,
that's not
too.
Really investing you into the season.
No.
And no one wants to join your family, like Russo had back in the day, for $20.
Yeah, who wants in on the family?
Think about that. $20 for a full season bet. That means you're risking, like, this was for football? You're risking,
yeah,
like, $1 a week. Who
yeah,
cares?
$1 a week. Silly.
Give me a break.
All things, a lot of times people think that coronavirus has made our world different, that things have changed, Jerry.
I would say things are different. That is true.
Things statement. Are different. Things are
I'm
changed.
I'm walking around wearing a mask in my workplace.
That's
a different.
Right. That's something that's definitely changed. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have let people into.
This video is brutal, Al. I know what you're going to say.
They let people into the stands, and not a lot of people into the stands, but the few that they let in, a couple of people were able to get into a nice brouhaha in the
this
stands.
Was, no, no.
Old school Eagle style.
This was not a brouhaha. This was an ass whooping. And here's what was really dangerous and scary yeah. about it. They weren't on the lower level. They were like at least in the mezzanine, and they were by the rail.
Where someone could get tossed off over the rail.
Yes. I mean, they were like in the second seat of the row. So you basically had one seat and a small little aisle of steps and then the rail. And there were three guys just pounding on this guy. And my
it was a
three-on-one
situation.
It was, and I think it was his girlfriend was trying to pull him away. Like, what in the hell could he have possibly said that set them so off on that in that moment?
He told the one guy, he said, "Your mama wears combat boots."
Not enough.
And that started the whole
not
thing.
Enough. There's not enough. That is not enough to have that beating come down on him. There only six. I think it was only six, like 5,500 or 6,000 fans. God.
Then I saw somebody else in the stands that the Eagles had was walking around with a pigeon.
I think that was Mike Trout. He's a big Eagles fan.
A guy walking around with a pigeon in the stands.
Usually, and last night at the Cowboy game, I guess for in the pregame, some guy got loose and was dancing on like one of the tarps.
Oh.
I think he got thrown out. I'm not sure.
I mean, like, you're one of the limited amount of people allowed in, and you're
going to
either get into a brouhaha or
25,000 seats tickets sold in a 90,000 seat stadium, and you're going to get tossed for dancing on a tarp. What are you doing? Silly. Really silly.
Very silly.
I told you, I want to go there for a game this year. I just don't know that I can.
Cowboys.
No, the Texans.
Well, no.
Yes, the Cowboys.
Get right in.
I would like to go. Yes, I would like to. It seems awesome. 25,000 fans, plenty of space. Of course, they'll give up 400 points in the first half, and then you leave.
And you go home.
Right. That's one of those now. That's become one of those stadiums. If you're lucky enough to go or want to go, the tailgate's the best part.
Because like, once you go in, the Cowboys' defense just falls apart.
They're like a sieve. Did you
Swiss
see the,
cheese.
Did you see the video of the guy being consoled by his girlfriend that was all over Twitter last
night? Yes. Cowboy fan.
Embarrassing or good? What do you
think? That's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I
agree. It looks pretty sad.
Only kids should be that involved in getting that upset with your sports teams.
You better hope not, Al, if you want a job for the next 10 years.
No, I'm saying you can be upset. You don't need to be consoled about it.
Well,
a regular season loss.
I don't think he asked her to console him. That was one of those things where she was being a good girlfriend or wife and, you know, saw her man in distress and just gave him a little kiss on the head.
Saw her lover in distress.
If, in fact, they are, yes.
Right.
I'm sure. I will guarantee you at some point over the last several years you've been with your girlfriend that she has kissed you on the forehead.
Yes, that is true.
Now,
nothing sadder than a man needing a kiss on the forehead.
That does not feel manly. It's probably not the manliest thing. That is true. And now he was all over social media last night.
Right.
Unbeknownst to him because the cameras caught him.
He's going to wake up to that this morning.
Yes, he will.
Jerry, let me give you a little buzz, no buzz.
I like this. Buzz, no buzz. All right.
Buzz, no buzz, where I give you one topic, Jerry. You tell me whether there is buzz surrounding this topic or whether there is no buzz.
Hold on, let me predict.
All right.
World Series, Game 1, Dodgers and Rays.
We did buzz, no buzz, World Series yesterday.
We did?
This is buzz, no buzz, yep.
Oh.
Buzz, no buzz.
2020 coming back on Netflix?
That's Unsolved Mysteries, and it is back, and there's big buzz.
Okay.
Buzz, no buzz, Jerry. The Match returns November 27th. This is the golf situation. Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson versus Steph Curry and Peyton Manning.
No buzz. I'll tell you what I like about it and what I don't like about it. I don't like the Tiger's not involved because I thought that made it a lot more fun.
He's more buzzworthy.
Well, he is, but I just thought the one professional golfer with the amateur I thought was really cool. I thought that was a great concept. I like this because Barkley is so terrible. I think it's interesting, and I think it'd be fun to watch. It's going to be on Black Friday, though, where a lot of people are out. And I know people do their shopping online. Like, when we did this last time, we were dying for some sporting event, and they did it on a Sunday afternoon, if I remember correctly, when we had nothing to watch. I feel like it's going to get lost on Black Friday. I just do. Now, I'm into it because I love Mickelson. He's my favorite golfer, and he's a blast. I think Steph Curry's a really good golfer, as we know. And who's the other one that's in it?
Peyton
Manning. So I think it's fun, but I would go minimal buzz.
You think Peyton Manning will lift his shirt up a little bit in a sexy way to show off his abs that he's got now?
I think if he's got a sense of humor, he should.
Yeah, you're right. This is going to get lost, Jerry, in the shuffle of, you know, people punching each other at the Best Buy trying to get a DVD player for
$3. For $10.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's going to get lost. Plus, it's also going to be probably the third day of college basketball to where, again, not that college basketball in November is usually a big deal. That picks up in February and March. I get that. But there's really going to be nothing else going on except for the NFL at that point. So I think people are going to be looking forward to college basketball, and you're going to have Black Friday shopping, and this is going to be on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, it kind of gets lost.
So we're going to go no buzz on this.
Minimal buzz.
If you only had a choice of buzz, you had it was like a voting thing. You check off buzz or no buzz.
I would have to check no buzz.
Yeah.
We have to take a break. Eddie, no are buzz. We doing a radio.com sports minute? You have not given me anything.
Yeah. We are. I have no idea what the topic is.
We have some email situations where we can't grasp our emails right now. So.
All right. So how about we do this? We're going to hit it in three.
Well,
two,
let's do this. We're going to play some commercials. And at some point during the commercial break, there should be an Amy sports minute.
Oh.
So listen up, everybody. Ooh. I'll take it now, Jerry.
Right.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, welcome back. Chiefs winning last night in Buffalo, and the Cowboys embarrassed themselves as the Cardinals looked outstanding last night in Arlington. All you got, Al.
I see that Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, he dislocated his shoulder
Yeah,
I also, celebrating a home run.
I found it very interesting. He said this happens all the time. He said he's fine.
Popped he does right that thing, in. Yeah, like the Bash Brothers used to do, which I always thought seemed like very dangerous, especially for fragile athletes like we have these days. Well, like when Aaron Judge hits a home run and he bashes forearms with Giancarlo, and I'm like, these two are going to end up on the DL,
apparently
IL, whatever they call it.
Dislocate your shoulder.
Pop it right back in.
Yeah, like Lethal Weapon. Remember when he used to do that? Mel Gibson, you remember that?
I don't recall that.
Remember, you don't remember that? Put him in a straitjacket. Remember they had to pop the shoulder back into place? How do you remember?
Is that how Houdini used to get out of things?
He'd
separate his own shoulder and slide out.
I never saw Houdini.
Well, it was a long time ago.
Lots of NFL talk continues today on The Fan.